Our text this afternoon is Acts 20, verse 28. Let's read that again together. Acts 20, verse 28 reads as follows: "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." After the ministry of the word, we'll sing together from hymn 84, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon is a special occasion. We may witness the ordination of four brothers from our midst. Four of them will be ordained to the office of elder and two to the office of deacon. Tomorrow evening, these men will sit in the council meeting for the first time. They will meet with the outgoing office bearers who have completed their terms. And the outgoing office bearers will hand over their responsibilities to these men. Then they will leave. In our reading this afternoon, we see a type of handover happening as well. The Apostle Paul is meeting with the elders in Ephesus for the last time. He has done a lot of work in their midst, but now he is on his way to Jerusalem. Apparently, he's not sure what will happen to him there. But one thing he is sure about, he will never see these men again. He does not expect to ever see them again. That is why he wants to meet with them one more time so that he can officially hand over his responsibilities to them and commit them to the Lord. They will need to carry on without him. That is why Paul spent some time reminding them what he has done among them. But he's not doing that just to boast. No. The point is that they will need to continue that work after he is gone. That is why he wants to take some time to admonish them, to encourage them, and to pray for them. Now, the challenges of office do not change, so we need to pay attention to this text. Of course, most of this text pertains to the work of elders, but there are also elements in here that pertain to the work of deacons. So we will highlight these elements as we go through the text together. And this afternoon I want to use one phrase to anchor ourselves in the text. And that phrase is in verse 29, where we read, "Keep watch over all the flock." We will see together why this commission is necessary and how it should be carried out. One of the most striking phrases in the whole chapter is the second half of verse 29, or 28, actually. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Verse 28, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Now, this expression is unique. Nowhere else in the Bible does it actually refer to the blood of God. If you understand this phrase to refer to God's blood, then it is a very compact way of referring to Jesus Christ. It refers to his divinity, because he is God. It refers to his humanity, his incarnation, because he had to take on flesh so that he could bleed. And it refers to his crucifixion, where he died to ransom sinners. So there is a lot in this phrase. Now, some of you may have a translation that renders it a little bit differently, that it would say, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with the blood of his own." In other words, the church of God, which he bought with the blood of his own, in other words, the blood of Jesus. Both ways are possible, although what you have here in the NIV is most likely what Luke had in mind. But no matter how you translate it, clearly the phrase refers to Jesus Christ. There's no one else that it could refer to. So what this is telling us is that the church was paid for with the blood of Christ. And as we saw, this is a very loaded expression, but also a very graphic one. But Paul's purpose here is not to shock us. He's making a point about the church. The vocabulary of blood is covenant vocabulary. It's meant to make us go back in our memories to another time when this vocabulary was used. It points us back to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20 describes the last Passover that our Lord celebrated with his disciples. And we read that he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So now when Acts 20, verse 28 refers to the blood of God, it is pointing back to the sacrifice of Christ, to everything that that means. And it's also saying that the whole development of the church between then and now, including Pentecost, happened because of what Christ did. Let's not forget that Luke wrote this Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts. So this is no coincidence. He's meaning for us to make that connection. He is making a theological point. See, he's saying that this little church at Ephesus with its elders is not just the product of Paul's teachings. It is the product of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Christ died to redeem the church by his blood. Also the local church. You know, sometimes when we talk about the church, we mean the invisible church, the church of the elect whom Christ is gathering. But that is not the church that Paul is talking about here. Paul is clearly talking about the local church because he's speaking to local elders and he's telling them, guard the church of God. He's saying this church, this local church at Ephesus, was bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. And we could say, we could extend the same principle to the church at Chilliwack. We could say that Christ did not only pay for an invisible church that has no connection to the believers here. If the church belongs to him, then this church at Chilliwack is also one that Christ paid for with his blood. Now, I want you to take a minute, brothers and sisters, and think about this. Let these words soak into your mind as you consider our church. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The blood of his own, his one and only. Think about how much God loves his Son. And now think about how much he loves his church. And by church, we obviously don't mean this building with the carpet and the parking lot outside. The church is more than the nursery or the basement. The church is the body of believers belonging to the Lord. God gave the blood of his own so that you could become one of his own. And notice that the focus here is not on individual believers. Of course, the church is composed of individual believers. Obviously, without individual believers, you would have no church. But that's not the focus in the text. The focus here is on the church collectively. The church as the body of Christ. That church, this church, cost God the blood of his Son. And that means that no one may ever despise the church. No one may ever hold the church in contempt. Brothers, God paid for this church with his blood. That means this church is now holy. It's sacred. And that means that you now also have a sacred responsibility. God put a huge price on the holiness of this church. You are now the ones who need to make the congregation value that holiness as well. You need to lead God's people to respond to him. And that includes the work of both elders and deacons. Of course, the focus of your respective tasks is different. But the final outcome is the same, to lead God's people in ways of holiness, whether that be spiritually or financially, or in the many different ways that these two areas sometimes overlap. Our text refers to elders as shepherds, and the next verse refers to the church as a flock. So this church is also the flock of God. The image of God's people as a flock is a very old one. We find it back, for instance, in Psalm 77, verse 20, which we sang earlier. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Ultimately, God is the shepherd of his people. In John 10, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. But now the good shepherd, in his goodness, gives under-shepherds to his flock. He did that in the Old Testament, and he's doing it today. In Acts 14, verse 23, we read that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in each church. And today, through his church, he has appointed you. Because the church is God's flock that needs shepherds. Sheep are animals that need care and guidance in order to thrive. When they do not receive that care and guidance, then terrible things happen. Ezekiel 34 refers to what happens when the shepherds neglect the sheep. It says in verse 6, the Lord says, my sheep, you hear that? My sheep were wandering over every mountain and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched for them or looked for them. Without faithful shepherds and under shepherds, the sheep will scatter. That, brothers and sisters, is why you need to take the work of these office bearers seriously. When they come to you with biblical counsel, they are not coming to you with good advice. It's not just good advice. They are bringing the word of God to bear on your particular situation. You may not like what they say to you, but you may not ignore it unless what they say is demonstrably unbiblical. And the opposite holds true as well. When you elders and deacons speak with your charges, you may not bring them your own opinion. You may only bring them what the Word of God says. That requires prayer and searching the Scriptures. It can be very tempting to begin with your own opinion and then to find a proof text to back it up. But that is a misuse of Scripture. Instead, in the words of Colossians 3, verse 16, you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. If the word of Christ dwells in you richly, then the word will also shape what you have, what you say to those in your care. And then you, brothers and sisters, also need to accept it as such. An office bearer needs to bring the word of God with boldness. And that kind of shepherding is difficult. In verse 20, Paul says that he did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful for them. And in verse 27, he says again that he did not hesitate to proclaim to them the whole will of God. So the same word here gets used in both places. And what he's basically saying is that he didn't shrink back. It is possible to shrink back when other people become angry at what you say to them. It is possible then, by shrinking back, to blunt the word of God through compromise. But ultimately, compromise does not serve the best interests of the church. Sometimes you need to be blunt. Sometimes you need to call a spade a spade. There's a time and a place for everything, and sometimes you need to be direct with people. Let me give you an example. The other day, I was busy in my garage. Now, if you've ever been in my garage before, you'll know that we have a set of wooden stairs going down to a concrete floor. Well, I was busy, and then I looked up, and I saw my little son standing on the edge of those stairs, balancing. He's still developing a sense of balance. He has a limited awareness of the dangers of gravity. So when I see him do this on the edge of the stairs, this is no time to persuade him gently. I need to speak to him very directly. And sometimes as office bearers, you need to do the same thing. You need to speak directly, never in anger, never out of irritation, never because you've been personally hurt, but with the boldness that comes from the word itself and out of love for the church, because you have a sacred responsibility to care for and to do your work in the church of God, because he paid for that in blood. As office bearers, you need to keep watch over all the flock. But how do you go about doing that? Where do you begin? Well, according to our text, you begin with yourself. Verse 28 says that, right? Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. We see that same concept reflected in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, where Paul tells Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine closely. This is a fundamental point. You cannot expect to guide God's flock effectively if you are not being guided by God yourself. That requires personal diligence, and it requires office bearers to watch over each other. That is why every office bearer in this church is still part of a ward himself. He's under the care of another office bearer. Being an office bearer does not exempt you from spiritual care and accountability. Even your minister is not exempt. I am part of a ward as well. I get home visits as well. You see, there's a misconception out there that consistory is almost like a club, an old boys club of people who like being in charge. But that is not true. Both elders and deacons need to submit themselves to the care of the good shepherd, also as it comes to them through the under shepherds. Why do you need to stay accountable to each other? Because of wolves. In verse 29, Paul writes, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. What is a wolf? Well, in this context, a wolf is anyone or anything that draws sheep away from the flock. That can happen in various ways, but the end result is always the same. The sheep are led astray. Sometimes a wolf attack is doctrinal. In verse 30, Paul refers to those who distort the truth. In other words, these wolves will somehow change the gospel. They will water it down. They will compromise it. And in that way, they lead the sheep astray. But a wolf attack can also be more personal. Verse 30 refers to those who not only distort the truth, but do so in order to draw disciples away after them. In other words, this is not just about following the truth as these people see it, but it's about following them personally. These people want to have their own followers. Now, they probably don't realize that themselves, but that is what it is. They're more interested in having followers and swaying other people's opinion than in submitting their lives to the gospel. That's what wolves are like. I said it's important to remain accountable to each other because of wolves. Why? Well, because in verse 30, it says that such wolves can even arise from among yourselves. Sometimes a sheep can become a wolf. Never happens in the animal world, but it certainly does happen in church life. And sometimes a wolf can even arise in consistory. Obviously, a very frightening thought. And that explains why Paul says that shepherding begins by looking after yourselves and each other. Elders and deacons are called to guard each other, to hold each other accountable. As office bearers, you need to keep watch over each other. And you need to keep watch over the flock. Not just some of the flock, but all of the flock. You have to understand, in those days, the church came from a wide ethnic background. Right before that, it had been only Jews, but now you have Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free men, rich, poor, everybody together. Fishermen and lawyers. And also today, we can encounter people in church who are very different from ourselves. That comes with its own dangers. It is very easy to favor people who are more like yourself and to say, well, so-and-so is an easy person to get along with. Well, that's only because they have a lot in common with you. But all of the sheep are part of the flock. Therefore, all of them need care. So the call still stands today. Keep watch over all the flock. Keep watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To be an overseer means to have a role as a guardian. The word overseer comes from a verb that means to inspect or to examine. Overseers are called to keep watch over the flock. That means to be constantly vigilant. You can't let your guard down. It involves being alert for the wolves that we talked about. But it also means being concerned about the general well-being of the sheep. Not only to be reactive, but proactive. In verse 31, Paul draws all of this together and he says, be on your guard. Then he holds up his own example to them and he says, remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you day and night. With tears. Now, the word warning here is a bit hard to translate. The ESV translates it as admonish. That doesn't really cover it either. Basically, what this points to is a form of counseling. See, it's not just about educating people, about telling them the right things, because education means you're just imparting knowledge, information. And, some of it might stick, some of it might not. Also, education is voluntary. If I take a course somewhere and I don't like the teacher, well, then I stop going. But this kind of admonishment is different because it presupposes that there is a problem which requires you to deal with it. It requires counseling. So that gives it a little bit of a different focus, you see. And it also presupposes that the people being counseled will change. Because you're not just giving advice, you are confronting a lifestyle problem or a spiritual problem so that the behavior causing the problem will change. That's what Paul is talking about when he says that he warns people. He didn't just do this every now and then either. He did it regularly throughout the congregation, night and day. And he did it with tears. That's an important point. Because if office bearers today are going to admonish the sheep and the flock, they cannot do so while being emotionally detached. After all, you're dealing with a church that Christ died for. You are dealing with a church that could be attacked any time. That lends a real sense of urgency to the admonishment. Paul had that sense of urgency. He couldn't be detached when he saw God's sheep straying. He couldn't be clinical in how he dealt with them. And neither can office bearers today. Of course, we might not be tearful to the degree that Paul was. There are cultural differences, of course, between first century Greek culture and Canada in 2014. But that should not stop us from being emotionally invested in the sheep that are under our care. It's also worth noting that Paul admonishes them without ceasing. That doesn't mean all he did was admonish them, but it means that he was persistent. And so you have the mandate to do the same thing today. As office bearers, we cannot shepherd someone once and then expect them to continue in the same trajectory indefinitely. People encounter different challenges in their walk of faith. That's why you will need to be vigilant. People who are doing well today might not be doing so well tomorrow. And people who are struggling today might be doing well a year from now. But you have to be persistent, especially when it comes to young people. As office bearers, elders, and deacons, we need to be involved in their lives. One home visit per year is not going to cut it if you don't speak with them in between. But the opposite is true as well. You can have an enormous impact in the life of a young person if you shepherd him or her carefully. And an office bearer who makes that kind of an impact in the life of a young man might also make him more receptive to the call of office himself later on. Brothers, maybe looking at your respective offices through the lens of this text is intimidating, especially knowing that the flock could be under attack any minute from within and without. You can keep watch over each other, over the flock, and attacks still happen. And Paul knows that. That is why in verse 32 he says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." In other words, he knows and God knows that these men cannot fulfill that mandate on their own. So he commits them to God and to the word of his grace. Through his word of grace, he calls the church. Through his word of grace, he grows the church. Through his word of grace, he sustains his people until they reach the promised inheritance. Because ultimately, God is the one who shepherds his church. But in his wisdom, he has chosen to do it through you. Yeah, the work you do, if you do it faithfully, is God's work. God calls his sheep. God preserves his sheep. And God calls you now to guide his sheep. So today you may enter into your office, and you do so prayerfully, and we will pray with you. We will pray for God's protection over this flock, over the shepherds. So be assured through his word and strengthened through his spirit, and then go to work and expect great things to happen. Amen.